Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode 29 of season 2. Hey, wait a minute here. Something is strange here. I heard the chickens at the top, but this theme music, it's all wrong. It isn't a version of Cluck Old Hen. It's a more familiar tune from the season. Something tells me this show will not be like all of the others. You see, as I record this, it's just a couple of days before solstice, and so I've been distracted by the excitement around me, and I got to thinking that this episode should be called something like Holiday Time at the Farm, or the Homestead, or the Cafe, or wherever you are. Truth be told, I like celebrations, and I don't think it makes any sense in these times to be picky about which ones we embrace. This time of year is rich in traditions. It's the time of year in our northern hemisphere when the days continue to shorten and winter draws ever tighter. But we also have the assurance of the rebirth of the sun and longer days, and even way off in the sparkling distance, the chance of spring. Personally, I like to get this holiday season started early with Diwali, the Hindu festival of light. Then I move on to Hanukkah, another festival of lights from a different tradition. Then to Solstice, a festival of the rebirth of light, first dating from the heady Neolithic times, or you may call it Yule if you're from Nordic regions. Then I gear up for Christmas in all of its spiritual and now capitalist forms. To Kwanzaa, based on older African customs, also with 7 candles. To the joyous abandon of New Year's traditions, to Old Christmas Day, and then... Then I come up for breath and to pay a few credit card bills. There are, of course, links among all of these celebrations, despite the protestations of fundamentalists of all stripes. Humans living in common environmental circumstances, like the shortening and then the lengthening of days, start to develop similar festivals. These celebrations might borrow from each other, even unconsciously, and it's only later that they protest about their own being unique or exclusive. One of the newest arriving celebrations on the scene is Christmas, but it's borrowed freely from pre-existing celebrations. For example, Christmas attached itself to a Roman holiday. In earlier days, the 25th of December was known as the day of the birth of the unconquered sun. It was a holiday in honor of several gods, including Mithra, the god of the sun, and Saturn, the god of agriculture. Well, you see where I'm going with information like that. Right there is enough reason to focus a Fit to Eat show to celebrate the Roman god of agriculture. Goodness, we don't even have a minister of agriculture in our province, and the Romans even had a god of agriculture. No wonder the Mediterranean diet is so highly regarded. But that aside, when you think about it, of all of the Western holidays we still have these days, Christmas has the most rural theme of any of the lot. To take the pagan bits, like trees and decorations and mistletoe and so on, they often focused on rural beauty. The religious aspects emphasized the important and even sacred spaces of stables and connections with folks like shepherds, not stockbrokers sitting in condominiums. And even the commercialized aspects of Christmas worship a fellow who lives in a pretty rural location. Santa is not in metro-adjacent rural, no, nor is he in small-town rural. He is in remote rural, and he seems to get along just fine. So today, I have some music, some chat, and some fun related to this season of the year and its connection to farms, agriculture, rural, and food. Let's start with some relevant music. As I said earlier, the stable figures prominently in the Christmas story and in Christmas songs as well. Here's a lovely rendition of Carol of the Beasts. That's one of the earliest of Christmas carols, by the way. This version has lots of participation from children, which makes it all rather more precious.
Thank you. the curly horn. I gave him my wool to keep him warm. He wore my coat on Christmas morn. I saw the sheep with the curly horn. I saw the dove from the rafters high. I could him to sleep so he would not cry. We could him to sleep, my mate and I. I saw the dove from the rafters high.
From a Newfoundland Labrador Christmas album called Amber Christmas, produced by Pamela Morgan with lots of help from, as it says on the CD, Anita Best, the Overtones, the Younger Tones, and various wenches, rogues, beggars, minstrels, fakers, and thieves. Back in 1822, Episcopal minister Clement Clark Moore wrote a Christmas poem called An Account of a Visit from St. Nicholas. Now, you might know it by its first line, "'Twas the night before Christmas." The poem marked the beginnings of the idea of Santa Claus as a jolly man who flies from home to home on a sled driven by reindeer to deliver toys. Now, until that time, there had been many different depictions of Santa Claus around the world, including a tall, gaunt man or an elf or a somewhat scary creature who lurked around alleys. Moore's Santa had almost no resemblance to these earlier views of St. Nicholas. But that is the creative beauty of developing traditions. This version of Santa Claus is a jolly man in red with a white beard, holly in his hair, a sack of toys. It was immortalized in 1881 by Thomas Nast, who was a political cartoonist, and he drew the classic picture of the old Saint Nick that we know today. This was further solidified in 1931 when Coca-Cola commissioned illustrator Haddon Sundblom to paint Santa for their Christmas advertisements. So that's where we get those rosy cheeks, the twinkling eyes and laughter lines, oh, and the bright red, the coke red of his suit. And by this time, the holly is gone from his hair, and he's put on quite a few pounds. But that happens to us all as we age. Thus, for our current image of Santa Claus, we have several folks to thank. A minister, a cartoonist, and an advertiser. And so I continue the practice of borrowing from the past to create new traditions with the following recitation. With apologies to Clement Moore, whose poem I have unabashedly ripped off. I have borrowed from. Another kind of visit. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the shed not a creature was stirring, not a sheep raised its head. The cuds they were chewed both with thought and with care, in hopes that fresh barley soon would be there. The lambs they were nestled all snug in their beds, while dreams of spring sunshine danced in their heads, and I in my granary, just over the stalls, had settled my litter within the barn walls. When out in the yard there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my hole to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a finch, squeezed under the frame, for a mouse it's a cinch. The moon on the dust of the road by the inn gave the lustre of dawn to the courtyard within, when what to my curious eyes should befall but a woman, a man, and a donkey so small. They spoke to the innkeep, so fair and so kind, but he was right full, no spare room could he find. More tired than dogs the young couple appeared, as the innkeep explained what they already feared. There's no room left here, not a corner spare. The porch it is full, but there's frost in the air. I've a stable in back, it's not much, I agree, but it's yours for the night. You can have it for free. So out to the stable the strangers they came, with their bags and their food and their donkey so lame, and then in a twinkling as they walked up the lane, I saw that the woman was in some great pain. She was holding her tummy so tight and so round, her forehead it glistened like dew on the ground. With gentle, quick motions the man made a bed in a manger of straw with a robe for her head. As I scurried still closer, I plainly could see that the two there before me would shortly be three. And so amid the cooing, the lowing, the sighs, our stable was blessed with a baby's first cries. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. The stable was quiet, but none were asleep as we watched there before us the mystery deep. All creatures lay silent, in awe and in peace, the mice with the cats, and the ducks with the geese. We spoke not a word, but we knew it was true. The scene we had witnessed had made all things new. Then laying a finger aside of his nose, he cooed very softly. His eyes, they did close. His mother, she sighed, and she sang him a song, his father's eyes shining as he hummed along. And all creatures, they echoed at this peaceful sight. Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Of course, a stable is no stranger to miracles, as any farmer or homesteader would well know. Another great stable song of the season is done here by Emmylou Harris. This is Light of the Stable from her Christmas-themed CD of the same name.
Hail, hail to the newborn King. Let our voices sing Him our praises. Hail, hail to the guiding light that brought us tonight to our Savior.
Growing up on the farm, that we did chores a bit differently around Christmas time. Maybe the sheep got a slightly better mix for a day or two. Maybe the chickens got an extra handful of oats. Maybe we were a tad more relaxed around the barns, with a bit more whistling. Maybe the straw bedding was a bit thicker than usual on Christmas Eve. When aunts and uncles and cousins gathered for a big Christmas meal, there was always time for the uncles to gather at the barn after the meal had settled. The stable is a place of peace when all bellies are full. I recall the sight. A set of uncles, farmers all, leaning on the gates, looking at the stock, chewing on straw, running the pungent silage through their fingers, dressed up for the occasion. Farm coats over wool suit jackets, plaid shirts with plaid ties, Sunday shoes under dirty galoshes. They were comfortable in the stable. It was an everyday location made a bit more magical on this one day. It was their cathedral. I asked a few other farmers about Christmas on the farm. If they raised animals, they'd talk about the need to do chores before opening gifts and so on. But Jim Purdy, who farms just outside Happy Valley in Labrador, sent me this note. I make sure that the crows get the rooster's guts when I butcher the last four or five, and I dump a half a bucket of chicken feed into the groundhog hole by the shed. I know the wildlife will have a long, hard winter while we bask in southwest Nova Scotia. The squirrels can get into the now empty henhouse and find the leftover feed there that they can dig out when they wake up between storms. I know that some of you are expecting that I'm going to pull out a track of cows mooing Christmas motets or dogs barking out anthems from the Messiah. No such luck. But I do have something better. It's a few snippets of Christmas carols played with the kind of power tools laying around your shop. Saws, drills, wood blocks, hammers, metal, clangy things. This is the music of everyday work on the farm. Here is Woody Phillips along with his Christmas-themed tools. Yes, go ahead. Try this at home. We'll be right back. In addition to the stable's importance in Christmas, there's also the issue of the central characters of both the official story of Christmas and the public imagination around it. I'm speaking, of course, of the shepherds. Indeed, one of the most popular of all of the Christmas carols was written by Nahum Tate 300 plus years ago. It's called While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks. He wrote the words, but there are lots of different tunes. You see, various streams of Christianity became very dour and grim back some hundreds of years ago. They got rid of many of the most joyous music from their hymn books, worried, I guess, that people may start to enjoy themselves while at church. There were lots of Christmas carols around, but most had roots in folk music, and so they were considered too secular to be used in religious ceremonies. They had too much delight. Swing, bounce, fuguing, and all of those other things that turn a tune into an earworm. Thank heavens, many of these old carols were preserved by pub singers and kitchen singers, at least until the strict Anglicans and the dour Methodists and the cold-hearted Calvinists had recanted. As a result of these Puritan misgivings, the words to While Shepherds Watch were the only Christmas lyrics that were allowed in some books of common prayer of the time. As a result, there are numerous musical settings for this carol. And just to prove this, here are 8 examples of different versions of the song. Here's a version that you likely know. Noble, sedate, dignified, like all shepherds, right? It's sung here by the King's College Choir from Cambridge, England. Next up, we'll stick with a British group. This is Matty Pryor, along with the Carnival Singers. You should be able to hear the differences from the first tune. Okay, not too hard so far. Let's get a bit more complicated. Here's the third setting. It's from a group called Noel Sing We Clear out of New England.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around.
Next up, we have a Newfoundland duo, Jim Payne and Fergus O'Byrne, from their wonderful Christmas CD called A Lovely Time of Year, doing another version of these lyrics.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around.
I guess you know the lyrics for the first verse pretty well by this point. We're halfway through. Here's another more sedate version, good for a cathedral maybe, not a stable. It's sung here by the Boston Camerata.
While shepherds watch the flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread it seized the troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind.
Are you ready for another shepherd tune for comparison? Good, here we go.
I'm just a lonely shepherd, and I live out with my flock. How I miss my baby, sleeping on the cold hard rock. Just a lonely shepherd, but I've got a tale to tell.
Oops, I'm sorry. I'm not sure how that got in there. That's a bit of blues there about a lonely shepherd. Imagine that, a lonely shepherd. That was Matt Anderson. Let me get back on track here. Okay, 3 more versions, and they're all a bit twisty and connected in places, but they're not the same. Here's another piece from Noel Sing We Clear.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night,
flocks by night,
all seated on the ground,
the angel of the Lord came down.
The angel of the Lord came
the
down.
The angel of the Lord came down.
And glory shone around.
And glory shone around. And glory shone around. And glory shone around.
Next up, this is a close relative, but still a different line of shepherds, from Professor Chalupka's celebrated singing school and friends of Ontario.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around and shone around.
Finally, we have one more version to go. This is from the first family of British traditional folk singers, the Watersons.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down,
and glory shone around.
Yes, having fun with music. You couldn't get away with that back in the dour Methodist days. To be honest, I'm not sure of the purpose of what I've just put you through, except to emphasize the importance of shepherds to the preservation of the Christmas story. And that songs about shepherds can be pretty innovative, if they have to be. Let's listen to a whole song about shepherds now, okay? Here's the Ennis Sisters with Rise Up, Shepherd, and Follow.
Shepherd and follow, follow, oh follow, rise up shepherd and follow, follow the star of Bethlehem, rise up shepherd and follow, follow, oh follow, rise up shepherd and follow, follow the star of Bethlehem, rise up shepherd and follow.
Neighbors are a big part of a Christmas celebration, in rural areas and beyond. For my first half dozen years of education, I attended a one-room schoolhouse, just over 30 of us in 8 grades in one large room. The clear memory is that about 2 weeks before Christmas break, we'd clear the desks away, string up a curtain and a stage, and start to work on a Christmas pageant. There were songs to learn, recitations to fret over, plays to cast, costumes to scrounge, towels to fashion into headpieces for shepherds, and more. The work all came together in a Christmas pageant, put on by the whole school. All of our parents came, grandparents, extended family, and a few others who lived in the area but didn't have kids in school. It was everyone in the neighborhood pulled together by a local school and the wise conviction that Christmas is an occasion for all of the neighbors to spend time together. I didn't grow up with television, but one of the shows I sometimes watched at my cousin's place was Bonanza, the story of the Cartwrights, Pa, Hoss, and Little Joe. Here they are during one of the scenes from the show, idols of rural ranch life at Christmas, singing about the importance of neighbors.
Merry Christmas, neighbor. Happy days to you.
Merry Christmas, neighbor. All the whole year through, Earth is friendly and happy and bright. May it always be just as neighborly as it is tonight. Merry Christmas, children, Santa rides along. Merry Christmas, lovers, tenderly.
Christmas, mothers, from your girls and boys.
Merry Christmas, fathers. Many be your joys.
Peace, goodwill to all men the world through.
Merry Christmas, neighbor.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Christmas Solstice Show. To listen to regular episodes of the show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The music for today's show was from a variety of artists. We heard Carol of the Beasts from a CD produced by Pamela Morgan, Light in the Stable from Emmy Lou Harris, Rise Up, Shepherd and Follow from the Ennis Sisters, and Merry Christmas Neighbors from the Cartwrights. We also heard clips of While Shepherds Watched from King's College Cambridge, Matty Pryor, Noel Singly Clear, Jim Payne and Fergus O'Byrne, The Boston Camerata, Professor Chaluka's Celebrated Singing School and Friends, and The Watersons. And then there was the Toolshed Carols from Woody Phillips and a short piece called The Lonely Shepherd from Matt Anderson. The theme music to start the show was God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, performed by the Polka Rockers Brave Combo. And the music now for the ending of the show is Rum Ragged with the Holly Jolly Hornpipes. And there in the middle, I use Ding Dong Merrily on High with Frankie Gavin and the Carl Hessian Orchestra. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. We'll be back to our regular interviews. And whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate at this time of year, may you do it with delight and grace. I know how easy it is to see the dark shadow of human life, to let cynicism chip away at our joy. I know that this is a time of year when we see the excesses of consumption. We see a capitalist system truly out of control as it tries to create needs and wants in each of us so as to enrich someone's cottage fund. But this is a time of year when people are still generally nice to each other for a few days. They say kind things to strangers. They buy each other drinks. They hang around the house in pajamas with their kids, playing board games. And anything that can get people to act kinder to each other is something to celebrate. And I'm all for that. Happy holiday trails, everyone. Oh, wait for Jim's rooster. Now, dearly departed.